Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is pertinent for the time in which we're living, and especially the day and hour in which we are in, with the massive hurricane about to come on shore in the southern part of the state of Florida on our western coast. We're talking about today a call for hope. Psalms 42:5 says, "Hope thou in the Lord." We need to place our hope and trust and confidence in Him. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. That does not mean that the government ought not to have a hand in doing what we pay our taxes for, and the government's responsibility, especially through a federal agency called FEMA. But just before the news break, we were talking with Angela, and she was talking about the devastation in North Carolina and Tennessee and that part of our nation and the lack of help from FEMA. Angela, if you're hanging on, continue with your thoughts, your conversation, and your questions that I think we need to address.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Yeah, I just heard such horrific news from so many people in that area, and they are just in tears, crying, saying, please don't believe what the news says. They're lying. And they're asking for anybody that has any kind of motorcycles, those things, the three-wheelers or any of those, I don't know what you call them, but those things that can get around.
ATVs, all-terrain vehicles,
yes.
ATVs.
Yes. Anything, if anybody has any of those things, and I know there's a hurricane coming again. We're setting up for that now. God, please take care of us through this, because, you know, but anyway, they're begging us for there's no food up there deep in the mountains. There's no food. There's kids walking around with looking for their parents. There's legs sticking out of the water, bodies all over the place. And also I heard now that the government wants this area because of large amounts of lithium that they're used in batteries. Now, I don't know if this is true, and something about quartz that there's up there for microchips, and there's something said that they want to just plow that whole land down and bulldoze it so they can get to that. I don't know how much of this is true, but from what I know about our government, I don't doubt nothing anymore.
Angela, you're exactly right. If I can jump in for just a moment, I've heard some of the same things, and I believe it's more than just rumors. I believe it's more than just some kind of mystical tale that's going on. There is, without any question, major reserves of lithium in some of the mountains there in that part of North Carolina. They call it the western portion of North Carolina. It is a fact that companies were already negotiating with wanting to buy up the land and put in the lithium mining. mining plants. Most of the residents that had been offered something said no, they did not want to sell it. Generally speaking, the residents said that they did not want the production of lithium in their backyards, as the cliche goes, because of the damage it would cause to the atmosphere and to the living conditions and the safety there in the area. And the thought is the something that's swirling around out in the stratosphere of online information, that the government could have seeded the clouds, brought the hurricane into that position to destroy it so that they could then come in and buy it up. Now, the truth of that, listen, generally speaking, when you hear something like that, there is an element of truth. It may not be the total facts that we're hearing, but I believe there's a seed, an element of truth in that. Also, I believe, Angela, there's a major, major potentiality of the government not allowing FEMA to go in and do what FEMA normally would do, not just because they don't have the money. I've got article after article after article, stacks of research that I've done on the subject. FEMA is, in fact, almost broke. FEMA spent the money on the illegal invaders coming in. FEMA has spent the money. FEMA has spent the money on helping Ukraine and helping the Hezbollah and other organizations that's trying to destroy the Jewish nation. They've siphoned off those funds, and now they don't have it. I'm looking at an article, Angela, that says Mayorkas warns FEMA doesn't have enough money and funding to last through the hurricane season. And it says, the Federal Emergency Management Agency can meet immediate needs but does not have enough funding to make it through the hurricane season, according to the head of Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security. So, Angela, I think there's a major, major problem. I'll touch on this and then let you ask and finish your statements. Okay. Right now, right now, the state of North Carolina, through the Democratic arm, the Democratic Party, they have now modified, not by legislation, but by changing the rules and the regulations about 3 weeks before the election. That's going to absolutely be frightening to me. In fact, what they've done, I'll just read this because later on in the broadcast we'll come back to it. They have decided to extend the voting time by 10 days, allow ballot harvesting, allow bailout to pick up ballots, and mail out ballots to be picked up by anyone and brought in, to allow party leaders to distribute ballots, to allow voters to vote in any county, regardless of the county they're living in, not just in their residence county, allow absentee ballots until November the 4th, that is the day before election, allow last-minute appointments of election workers. In other words, they can pick and choose election workers at the very last minute to man the polls, so to speak. I think we're about to witness a fiasco in the November 5th election, not just in North Carolina and Virginia and Tennessee and South Carolina, but all over the state of Florida. I'm concerned about the potential of this election in 3 weeks. I'm concerned with the validity of it, with the honesty of it, with the integrity of it, and with the potential of the socialist Marxist media lying about what is taking place, as you alluded to. They're lying about what's happening in North Carolina. They're deceptive, and their leaders, like Pete Buttigieg, the head of the Department of Transportation, ordering the drones to cease, the privately owned drones, ordering the people that are bringing in food and merchandise and equipment to leave, and then FEMA taking hold evidence saying they're passing it out. There's just so many things, Angela, that's inequitable and absolutely illegal, in my opinion, but it's taking place in the state of North Carolina in particular. Go ahead with any thoughts or comments.
Yeah, I know you got a lot of other things and people to listen to, so I'll make it quick. I just want to say, if there's anybody that can go up there or help these people, send a little money, anything, I beg you to. I know a lot of things are happening. It's hard. We don't have a lot of money, but any kind of dollar. Oh, God, these people are just hurting so much. And also, I wanted to say, even though I don't trust these people, I believe they are seeding the clouds. I don't believe that. I believe that God is in full control, and He is trying to wake us up for this vote, for this election, and everything we have been just letting slide by. We got to vote in the primaries. We got to vote every time we get a chance. And I've been praying. You know how in the Bible it says, you know, when David went, or any of the people, any of the old kings went to go fight the battles, if they weren't doing what was right in God's eyes, they would repent, and God would fight for them, or he would go behind them and fight with them. And I will tell you, if we all get on our knees and we say, God, I know we haven't been doing right, but we repent, and we will, you know, repent, look up to him and ask him to be with us. And if these people don't want to change their heart and do what's right, send confusion to all these people that are trying to cheat. Send confusion on them and let them do exactly the opposite of what they were going to do. And I believe our God is good, but this isn't where it ends. After this election, when Donald Trump gets in there, we have to keep doing what's right. Fight to get God back into our schools. Fight to get God back in our government and all that. That's all I have to say, because we serve a good God, and he wants to help us.
But absolutely. Angela, thank you so much for jumping in the dialogue and discussion today. Very, very worthwhile and spot on with what we're saying today. I believe that as Christians, thank you for your call. I believe that as Christians, we need to look up and recognize that God is on the throne. When Nehemiah was working to rebuild the walls with 49,942 workers, in 52 days rebuilt the wall. The enemies tried to destroy it, tried to distract it, tried to discourage the people. They kept working with a sword in one hand and with their working tools in the other hand. And Nehemiah said in the 4th chapter in the 20th verse, our God shall fight for you. We need to recognize that God is on the throne, that God is still in control, that God controls the winds and the waves. God controls the weather, not man. It is not Mother Earth. It is Father God that is in control. We need to recognize that. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about a call for hope. Psalms 42:5 says, hope thou in the Lord. The text that we looked at in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Jesus put the men on the boat. He tried to, and he was going to cross the water, and all of a sudden there's a major, major hurricane force wind. They thought they were going to die. They screamed, Lord, aren't you concerned that we perish, that we die? And Jesus was awakened, got up, went to the bow of the boat, stood, looked over the winds and the waves, and said, peace, be still. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. We need to recognize that he is the one that's in control, not we ourselves, not the government. We need to place our faith and trust in him and not fear what man can do. Listen, we need to be concerned. We need to recognize. We need to be involved. And as Christians, as Angela just said, we need to vote. We need to vote. It is a sad, sad shame, ladies and gentlemen, that so many Christians are not prepared and not wanting to and may not vote in this election. I think it is an outstanding crime, a shame. And I repeat this. I've said it several times in the past several months now in preparation for this election. I believe the number was some 40 million Christians did not vote in 2020. I believe it was something less than that, but a large number in 2022. The latest material that I read talked about the fact that there's about 65 million supposed Christians in America, and over 50% of those say that they do not intend to vote November the 5th. Now, I think that's a crime. I think it's a shame. I think that it's sad that Christians that are directed by the Lord Jesus Christ to be salt and light, and salt is not worth anything if it stays in the closet. Light is not worth anything if it stays in the closet. Salt is not worth anything if it stays in the shaker. We need to get out of the shaker. We need to get out of the closet and be salt and light and be the preservative that God would have us to be in this dark and dying, decaying society. But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus said, peace, be still, then the people, so what was happening? And Jesus asked the question, why are you so fearful? You see, the focus, according to the scripture, is on his disciples. They feared exceedingly, the scripture says. The storm caused greater faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen. I am of the opinion, the persuasion, that God is wanting to get America's attention. Angela touched on that a moment ago. God wants to get America's attention. He wants us to fear him and to honor him, to reverence him, to repent of our turning our backs on him and turn back to God in these last days. I believe that's what the storms are all about. I believe so also out on the West Coast, all of the fires that's taking place and the drought that's taking place. I believe God's saying, look up, listen, I want you to repent and turn back to me. I believe that's what God is saying across the world with what is happening with the weather conditions. It's not climate change. It's not a need for a Green New Deal. It's a matter of there needs to be a new deal with God, if you please, a turning back to God. Remember, we are just days away from the most consequential election in American history, and the stage is being set. How will we respond to that? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, you're right on spot. And the lady that just called, I'm telling you, that's inspirational to hear somebody else thinking kind of the way we do.
That's right.
And I know you said many times, and you referred to it, Jesus said, my word is true.
That's
and
right.
Also, he says in the Bible, he said, not one jot or tittle will pass until heaven and earth does. And you just mentioned here about Jesus being in the boat. He spoke three words, peace, be still.
Amen.
There's 12 letters in those three words, and 12 is divine government. You add 3 and 12, that's 15. 15 is associated with rest. Have you ever said, thank you, Lord? There's 12 letters in thank you, Lord. And did you have a peace come over you after you thanked you for something you was not aware of? I just done a thing also. Israel's sin was because she refused Jesus as the Messiah. America's sin is that we have abolished God. And we're going to pay for it. And he's trying to get our attention. We better wake up. I tell you, in FEMA, the first word, the first letter in FEMA is F. And F is associated with number 6. And 6 is associated with Satan's influence over man. You can just go on and look and see how God's word is true.
Absolutely. God's word is infallibly true, unchangeably true, and will stand the test of time. This is the reason, by the way, I am personally opposed to so many of the so-called new translations, because they digress from the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, and it waters down what God's word says to us in the King James text. I'm not a King James only, but I believe it's the best translation out there, and I believe that we need to stick to the word of God. And as you said, you go back to what God did with Israel. Israel would go into bondage. They would be ravished by the enemy. They would repent, come back to God. And I believe God is saying, I want Americans to look up, listen, and repent and turn back to God. We need to do so.
Amen.
Just as the previous caller just said, we need to get God back in the classroom. We need to get the Bible back in the classroom. We need to pray. We need to recognize that God is the controller, the absolute sovereign of our universe. And
Amen.
So you're exactly right. Thank you so much for you. I believe these storms are about that.
Man. He watches over the affairs of men.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he does. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't want to get up in the morning.
Me neither.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
I do believe we're not electing a pastor in chief, and that's a given. But that doesn't let us as Christians get informed as to what's going on out there. I had a little discussion with a person that I know of from a different church. And she was hating Trump and hating the governor of Florida because they don't allow a woman's rights to choose. A Christian using that lingo, that language. I was like, oh, my God, what kind of Christian is this person? Because
she needs to get saved.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is they don't speak in the congregations. They don't inform the members. Because if they will know the truth, the truth will set them free of the blindness that they have. Or you don't need to, you know, put the churches as political headquarters, but inform the members. Let them know what the Bible says in topics as marriage, as abortion, as transgender, and all the nonsense that the Democrats are trying to push. So that when the members don't get that information, they glue to the TV or they glue to social media, and they think they are feeding that lack of information that is in each member. So they think that, so that could be true. Yeah. Women's health are in danger. Wait a minute. This is a lingo that the devil has created, and people fall for it. And she was talking to me, and I was like, wait a minute, I cannot believe this. But I think I blame it on the churches, brother. They don't inform the members.
Absolutely.
They don't inform it.
And so, I blame it on the pastors that without a spiritual spine, no spine, and without a spine in the backbone to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. The Bible calls for pastors to be the watchman on the wall, warning of danger ahead, warning of the enemy that's before us. And yet I hear silence from most pulpits today. Yes. And I don't say that trying to be derogatory in any fashion, but I say that as a fact. Jose, listen, I've got an article I want to read the headlines, and I want you to respond to it. Headline says, millions of Christians not planning to vote this November could shape the presidential election. This article reads, millions of Christians in the United States indicated in a recent study that was just released on Monday that they are not likely to vote in the upcoming election in November, signaling a potential problem for the Republican Party. Just over one half of the interviews, 51% in the Cultural Release Center at Arizona Christian University study, who identified as people of faith, responded that they are not likely to vote in the presidential election this year. What does that say to you? It goes back to just what you're saying of the people not being informed, not being warned. What should we do? How should we respond, in your opinion?
I think they need to have send information about the Christian community and let us know the topics that this party believes in and that party believes in, and make that difference known to the members. At this point, the members see a blurry, a gray line. They don't see any difference. So they feel like, you know what? They are the same. I'm not going to vote for that person. But if they get informed and they know what do they really believe in, they will decide it on. But when they not got that information, They think that it's a waste of time, literally. And I think the Democrats are preying on that, using TikTok and all Instagram and social media. And many Christians, they don't hear the other side. So that boring lack of information is not being told by the leaders.
Jose, you're exactly right. It's not being told. And what I'm watching for Amendment 3, the Pot Amendment, and Amendment 4, the Murder by Way of Abortion Amendment, you have police officers in uniform with their badges advocating for the Pot Amendment. You see those so-called doctors and nurses and young ladies that supposedly have had horrific abortions proclaiming that Amendment 4 needs to be passed so that women can have health care. But listen, here's my point. What have you witnessed? Have you watched any pastor on television with a cut and highly developed news article about advocating against pot, advocating against murder by way of abortion? Have you seen? And we got churches across America. We got churches in the state of Florida that can afford to run and develop ads and run them on television where it's showing high profile pastors, preachers, Christian leaders advocating against these amendments. We don't see that happening, but we see the pot industry doing that. We see the murder by abortion industry doing that. Where are the Christians? Where are the pastors? Where are the churches that can afford to run that kind of ads?
Yes, it's very, very sad, brother. Completely silent. That's the sleeping giant is the Christian community, and nobody wants to wake him up using the resources that we have. I don't know why. I don't know why the Republicans are not fighting that battle. They're just silent. I spoke with a person that works in a pro-life group here, you know, and she was telling me the polls are on Amendment 4. They say they put a lot of money into it, but the Republicans, they didn't put that much. Why? That's my issue, brother. It's so upsetting, brother. It just I don't have words for it, you know. And I wish I had the magic wand, but we know, you know, we are in the end of times, and it's hard to see how many Christians, biblical ignorance, and either they're gonna vote for the enemies of God, the Democrats, or they're not gonna vote. So to me, it's on them, and we have to pray for all of them, brother. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Jose, you're exactly right. God bless you. We need to pray and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 reminds us. And we need to recognize today, with the storm approaching, with the hurricane approaching, with the calamity and the devastation and the destruction that is in its path, we need to recognize that our hope needs to be in nothing more, nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We can talk about the ravages of what's happened in western North Carolina. We can talk about the fact that FEMA has not done what it's supposed to be. And that's exactly right. But my question is, my challenge is, my thoughts today, that with the hurricane, with the ravaging devastation, how should we then live? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 10. Ezekiel asked that question, how should we then live? I believe that we need to recognize the danger ahead and put our hope and trust in God. I believe Danny's on the line. Danny, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for taking my call. I'll keep this quick because I know you're getting to the end of the show. We could talk about this for days. But nevertheless, I think what I call people, we're talking about Christians not voting. I'm talking about CINOs, C-I-N-O, Christian in name only. There are a vast majority of Christians, so-called Christians, that do not adhere to the Christian faith. Those are the ones that James would be talking to today if he said, you know, show me your works and I'll show you your faith. Because too many people are sitting on the sidelines thinking they don't want to get involved. The news they get most often is from a liberal network. So they feel like they're doing the godly thing and just staying out of it. The Bible could not be more clear that we're supposed to be involved in our government. But nevertheless, I see it. I see it all over. I hear the stats. I see it going on. It just baffles my mind. But the only clarity I have in it is that people are not truly Christian. Because no That's way it. You could vote for these people and be a Christian. No way.
Absolutely. You're exactly right, Danny. It is my prayer that people will wake up before it is too late. It is my prayer that we will win this election on November the 5th, just a few days before us. It's my prayer that we will place our faith and trust and hope in God and God alone and not in government. Danny, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I close with this thought today. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33, the Bible talks about the disciples of Jesus being on the water. The winds and the waves come. They're frightened to death. And then they see Jesus walking toward them on the water. And it's Simon Peter that said, Lord, bid me, allow me to come to you. Jesus said, come. And when Jesus gives the invitation, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand up and walk to him. Jesus said, come. And Peter was able to get out of the boat, walk on the water, go to Jesus. When he began to take his eyes off Jesus, the Bible says he started to sink. Jesus wrapped his arms around him and took him back to the boat. And the bottom line was, ladies and gentlemen, then they were in the ship, came and worshiped him. When the storm is over, when the end is in sight, when the devastation is there, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to honor him, to worship him, to submit and surrender unto his lordship. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative 91 FM. The Truth.